Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. Where we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen.
So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up!
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Turn it up!
You are now listening to the Pancakes and Power Slam show by Crave Wrestling on Blog Talk Radio. Be sure to follow Crave Wrestling on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling.
Episode 269, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. I am Chris Featherstone, as always. Follow us on Twitter at Crave Wrestling and join the Facebook fan page Crave Wrestling. I am really, really excited about this interview. Ladies and gentlemen, this person, with the past couple weeks, we've actually had a pretty great relationship for the past year or so. He's a great guy, great to talk to him. He's miles and miles and hundreds of miles away, countries away, actually, but we keep in contact. But beside all that, this person has become the most popular promoter within the past couple of weeks outside of WWE because of all of the buzz that's been going on with a specific name that we'll talk about and a specific social media promotion, things like that. So we'll get into all that. From Five Star Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Hinkles, how are you tonight, sir? I'm doing fantastic, man. I appreciate you coming on the show tonight. So before we get all into all the media buzz of what's been going on, just let the listeners know about what Five Star Wrestling is. What was your vision behind it? How long has it been going on? And, of course, last year you had some really good, actually the beginning of the year, and last year you had some really good promotion with Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, John Morrison, some great names, big names. So just let the listeners know what Five Star Wrestling is all about.
But the key here for us is we are right at the beginning. We're trying to do something very cool. We're starting a live tour right across the UK, big arenas. It's a very ambitious thing for us to be doing. It's the biggest tournament in wrestling history, and I don't mean that in a hyperbole kind of way. I mean it's literally the largest tournament, 128 guys that have ever been done. And we're going to be live every single week. It's a huge thing. But, we're a new company. We've ran all of five shows. So it's not like we're the the most experienced guys in the world, but at the same time, we've done some very cool stuff in those five shows.
Mm-hmm.
We were the first British wrestling promoter to be live on TV with our event. I mean, like, that was the last show that we did there. We've had some of the best wrestlers in the world. We had AJ Styles versus Rey Mysterio, which was an absolute dream match. People have talked about it for years. We managed to pull that off. We traditionally a video games company. We started out, 2010 making video games, all wrestling games. We made a game called Wrestling Manager on the iPhone. And the idea of the game was that you created your own company, you signed wrestlers, you signed TV deals, you put on shows, you built your company. And that went to number one in the charts straight out the door. And that's been a passion of ours for a long time, not just the game, but the idea of running your own company. It's been something I've wanted to do my entire life, and I'm lucky enough to be able to do that right now. We've got such a big opportunity in front of us. Massive opportunity. That kind of brings us up to where we are today.
Yeah. So, from the financial piece, is the video games kind of really being a big contributor with that, or are you guys having some good investors that are really buying into and just really excited about where it's going to go?
A bit of both. So, I mean, it helps that, you know, we've had targets along the way, and we've met them, you know. I mean, not with every last little thing that we've ever done, but we've certainly improved on things as we've gone along. So, for example, who could have predicted that the iPhone game was going to go straight to number one? You know, and it topped the charts. And then we worked hard on the PS3 game and the PS4 game, which was called Five Star Wrestling, by the way. And that took us years to build, a lot longer than we were expecting, but we got it out there, and it achieved some of the things we wanted it to achieve. But more importantly, it gave us an ability to get into the industry a little. So we took the game on the road. We went to WrestleCon with it. We went to a bunch of different indie shows. We sponsored a bunch of indie shows. We helped a couple of people that was setting up some of their own shows and stuff, and we were, you know, like, pitching in where we could and stuff. But we went around with a camera. We interviewed, I don't know, 28, 29, 30 big name stars, you know, guys like Drew Galloway and stuff. But pretty much, like, you know, PJ Black, John Morris, and anyone that would go to, like, a WrestleCon, we went and did interviews with them all. And after a while, we were just kind of looking at it and going, right, well, we've met some of the goals we wanted to meet. Let's take it to the next step. And we started promoting the shows, started running shows in order to promote the game. But also because this is really something that we've always wanted to do. So the first show went all right. You know, I mean, it wasn't amazing, but we had it on sale a few weeks, and we managed to draw a half decent crowd for what we had on sale for. And then the tour that we did last year was incredible. We had some of the absolute best names, the best guys who could come in and do stuff, but not just like the best already fully established guys, but we had, like, if you look at a list of the guys we had last year, we had Will Ospreay, Chris Girl, Jimmy Havoc. You know, I mean, like, these guys were still great in their sectors. People were really getting behind them already. Everybody kind of, like, they've been published as, you know, Zach had been called one of the best in the world already, Zach said the junior stuff. So don't get me wrong, I'm not saying, like, they kicked them out of thin air or anything. These guys were clearly going to be the future. But we're just glad that we were able to bring them all on board for such a great tour. And we've got the absolute who's who of wrestling there. And we ran that tour specifically because we believed we'd be able to get a TV deal, and that might sound crazy to some people to think, hey, you're going to run a tour, how do you think you're going to get a TV deal on you after just four shows?
Yeah.
But we did.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And we didn't just get any TV deal, we got a national TV first live broadcast. I mean, it was absolutely, everything went to plan.
Yeah.
So, fingers crossed it keeps going to plan.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you definitely drew some, even before, you know, everything that's going on, you know, we established a working relationship, you know, for a few months now, and just the promotion that Five Star has from just a presentation standpoint is fantastic, and it doesn't make it seem like there's been four shows with just the production and just the media. That's one of the biggest ways to just draw people in. And of course, you have names like Drew McIntyre, Rey Mysterio, like I said, PJ Black, and like Marty Scurll, who is just dominating, you know, the ROH television championship scene for the past few weeks. Of course, Bullet Club, you know, becoming a member of the Bullet Club recently. So you definitely, you know, have had some names. With this 128-person tournament, what type of names are you expecting to bring for this particular match and this particular series of matches?
We're going all out to try and bring in the absolute best available. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are signed up to contracts where they can't do certain things.
Right.
You know, we lost a big guy like Drew Galloway, who was set to be a big player for us in WWE. Hired him back for NXT, and I mean, like, good luck to Drew. He's an unbelievably great guy. We just want to attract the absolute best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do, and that's where this whole thing kicked off, right? Like, we offered CM Punk $1 million to come join us. I don't know how you can say you're going to try and get the best in the world after the longest reigning WWE champion of the last 30 years.
Who's the self-proclaimed best in the world? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's great, man. So let's talk about this CM Punk thing a little bit more. Of course, that was all over the media and social media and just internet world, internet waves the past week. You know, a lot of people thought it was a publicity stunt, and even if it was, it worked because it's everywhere. But you know, as far as knowing you and having many conversations with you, that's why I wanted to bring you on the show tonight, just you know, for an opportunity for you to just let people know just your legitimate aim to reach for CM Punk. Now, you have the people who, you know, say that it was a publicity stunt because he's currently signed with UFC. And did you guys know that? That's probably the biggest criticism that people are giving right now. What is your response to that?
Well, so first of all, I've never seen CM Punk's contract. We know that he had the fight. We know that it's been reported he's got a multi-fight deal.
Mm-hmm.
We've also seen Dana White come out and say he's not going to fight in the UFC again. And we've seen Punk come out and say he'd love to. And I'm not suggesting for a second that, like, what we would do would take precedent over that. What I'm saying is if Conor McGregor, the lightweight champion of the UFC, can go and box Floyd Mayweather, why the hell can't CM Punk come make $1 million wrestling?
True.
Like, if the lightweight champion can go and actually lose in a real fight, in the world of fighting, you know, the last thing that you want is your real champion who you're trying to present as the biggest badass in the world to go and lose in another spot, like in a fight spot. But what we do is slightly different, right? Like, I mean, if CM Punk returned to professional wrestling, it would be an iconic moment. It'd be a great moment, something that could really kickstart. Like, you know, he could go back to the WWE, and I'm sure they would pay him fortunes to do that, far more than what we could ever offer him. But what we can do is say, right, you could go and do that at a company where you've already left, and we don't know the real circumstances behind that. That's his thing. But he could come and really kickstart something. He could come and be the guy that took this to that top level. Now, just to put that into perspective, people said this is a publicity stunt, right? What I want people to understand is I'm running 30 arenas this year, right? And I don't mean 30 1,000-seat venues. We all know the tragedy that happened yesterday in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
But we're booked in that venue twice this year. That's a 21,000-seat venue. And we're booked in there twice. And I mean, that's mental.
Yeah.
We're an indie company. Who the hell do we think we have to try and do something as audacious as that? But we have. We've booked 30 different venues. Now, you might say, well, Jesus, man, you're going to end up with 30 venues that have got like, you know, 1,000, 2,000 people in. And maybe we will if we run at the guys that we've got now, but I don't think so. I mean, like, we've got Rey Mysterio, we've got Rob Van Dam, we've got Johnny Munda, John Morris, and the Five Star Champion. I mean, like, these guys are great guys. These are popular guys. These are people that people know. But how can we sell these venues fully? How or get to a decent level in the business? You know, like, where it looks like there's 7,000 or 8,000 or 9,000.
Yeah.
How can we get that kind of number through the door? Well, like, we're gonna. Guys like CM Punk is... He's got that kind of ability, right? Like, who the hell's not coming to see his first match back? You know, the other day when there was that false tweet that went out, and it wasn't on my account, I just want to clear that up as well, because people said that my account got hacked. My account is not even a thing on Twitter. There's like 108 followers. I've never really used it. it's not something that I do. That account had 30,000 followers. I don't know how it got 30,000 followers on. It was set up 2 years ago by the looks of it. There's like a whole Reddit thread that explains like who this guy was that did it. I have no idea you know, where that come from, but I just want to explain that it wasn't my account in any way, shape or form. Some guy posing as me posted out that CM Punk had signed.
Mm-hmm.
And like when as soon as we saw it, we posted straight away, you know, it's a false tweet. The last thing we wanted to do was set this up where people actually saw that. In that short window of time that we did that, tickets just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
And we've contacted just about everybody that bought tickets in that small window, and we've said, hey, this is a false story. You can, you know, there was one guy that bought VIP seats, and he just said, hey, it's cool, I'll still come, but let me just go back to the normal seats. And then we announced that Rob Van Dam was coming, he was like, well, no, give me the VIP. My point is just that CM Punk would potentially, and I strongly believe it, he would have the power to help us sell these venues.
Yeah.
Just to put that in a perspective, if he sold these venues, these 30, you know, and it wouldn't be him on his own. We've got guys like Rey Mysterio, Rob Van Dam. These guys are highly sought after, top tier talent in you know, the industry. Everybody in the industry looks up to these guys.
Yeah.
They're absolute
former WWE champions.
Exactly, right? And what I'm saying is combine that. Combine that with CM Punk, with all these up and coming guys that we've talked about there, because we're not just working with the big, already made it guys. We're working with a lot of the guys that are on the way up. Even some guys that, you know, we had a guy that debuted for us when he was 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not just thinking, let's go out and get the absolute biggest. We're thinking, who's going to be the future?
Yeah.
Well, that's because we're setting out for the future. And I guess what I'm saying is, if we run these 30 shows, these 30 arenas, and they sell big, well, we're not stopping. We'll book week 31, 32.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then we're off and running in huge arenas. The amount of money would be far more, you know, far worth it for us all. We'd be able to generate bigger shows. I just really believe that could happen. And we don't just have that as well. We've got video game. You know, we already signed Rey Mysterio up to it. You know, we've got something that could be a huge brand. I don't know how well you know the WWE video games, but those things, they're money making.
Oh, yeah.
So when I say I'm willing to give CM Punk $1 million to come join, that's not a stunt. That's a business decision.
Yeah.
And I'm saying if the guy came to the table and just talked about it, we might be able to even work something better than that. Because I'm not saying that it has to be just $1 million. It could be $1 million with some big upsides down the road.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess my last question to you is that still a project for you? I mean, you know, as far as just, you know, with the MMA contract with UFC, are you still willing to, you know, negotiate and talk with Dana White? And you brought a good point as far as Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor, and Dana White's, you know, he's been publicly open for that. And so with that, are you still willing to talk to Dana White to get CM Punk for this tournament? Is that something that you're still kind of pressing for? Right. Right.
Like, don't get me wrong. When I'm putting this money out on the table for the guy here, and I say I mean five star wrestling. When we put this out there, what I'm getting at is there's somewhere else for him to go. I don't know many wrestling companies in the world that could offer a guy $1 million. In fact, I know one, and that, you know, I'm not sure if TNA have many guys on that kind of money or any guys on that kind of money for that fight. I'm not sure if New Japan do. I mean, I'm sure they might be in a position to, but I don't think that they do. But I don't know their businesses inside out, like I know my business. But I know that the vast majority of indies certainly couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is maybe CM Punk does want to return to wrestling. But maybe he doesn't want to go back to WWE because they've got some kind of problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he does. I don't know. But nobody knows. There's only one man that does. I'm one of those kind of guys that when he's got something that he wants to do, he goes out and tries to make it happen. And I've emailed the guy through his website a whole bunch of times. Not really any responses. It's not his email. For all I know, it's going to some admin guy who's never even checking a thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
The guys in the industry who I know who know him, they don't really feel comfortable taking offers to him. And likewise, I don't want to be talking business with people, about other people. So I tried to avoid that for a long time. But now we're, this window of opportunity that we've got here is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so big. It's so big that I had to come out and try and get his attention now. If the guy... These are the outcomes, right? Like, if CM Punk says nothing, then people are going to think it's a publicity stunt, and hey, we picked up some free media for it. Well, I'm sorry that intruded in his life by doing that.
Yeah.
Because if he's genuinely not interested, then that's, I am sorry, but if he comes out and he says no, well, fair enough, the man said it out, and he says no, and then that's the end. You know, I mean, like, if he hears out what we've got to offer and he says, no, well, there's not a great deal we can do. If he comes to the table and talks about it, well, maybe, just maybe, we can make this work. And if we can make it work, well, then this could be absolutely huge. I don't know if you know what the UK is like, but growing up as a wrestling fan, it meant staying up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch Raw. It meant, 1 o'clock in the morning to watch anything, pay-per-view. We get that kind of a story. We have, there's always a story about how, Bret Hart and David Boy Smith sold Wembley Stadium out, 80,000 fans, but no WrestleMania, no pay-per-view. We don't even get a pay-per-view in the UK. There's all this talk about how the UK's got the best fans in the world. We get nothing, none of that. We've got this UK tournament thing that the WWE is doing, and that's cracking because it's given a lot of guys a great opportunity. And hopefully that's the start of them doing something a lot more. But we get a tour once every couple of months, and that's great. You know, people get to go see the fans, the guys and that. But it's it just feels like it could be a hell of a lot more. And we've got a passionate fan base. Why not tap into it? Now, there's a whole lot of indie scene going on in the UK right now. There's a whole lot of cool promotions everywhere. And we're not trying to step on these guys or do anything crazy like that. We'd love to work with, a lot of these companies.
Yeah.
But we really want to do something epic. CM Punk coming back. Everybody knows if the man ever decides to come back to wrestling, it will be epic. And if he does, and he does it at 5-star, well, that's going to elevate our brand significantly, right? Just like I'm hoping, we've just announced Rob Van Dam. That's a huge announcement for us. Rob Van Dam is just, he's going to be in our next show at Liverpool. He signed up for a whole bunch of shows. We've got Rey Mysterio. To give you an idea, in January we were supposed to have Kurt Angle as the commentator of our TV show.
Yep.
And I was literally about to book his flights when the WWE posted on WWE.com that he joined the Hall of Fame. Like, I was on the
phone. Yeah.
He was booking the flights. So he was going to come to the commentator. And the logic behind that was Kurt Angle's won everything there is to win in wrestling. Everything. I mean, if you name a belt, he's had it. That guy has done everything there is to do. He's never beat 128 guys. And that's what we wanted out of Kurt. We wanted him to stand there and say, I've done everything, but I've never in my entire career beat 128 guys to become the champion.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to have this year. We're having the biggest tournament in wrestling history. And I can't think of another guy that I would like to bring in more than CM Punk. Now that we've gone and got Rob Van Dam, now that we've got Rey Mysterio, we've got John Morrison. We've got all these guys that are going to come and do this show. Can't we bring CM Punk along for this?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, yeah. Yeah, that's good. You can't. You said, can you bring in CM Punk? Yeah, that's a great point.
It's just something that if there's an off chance, if there's a tiny chance, it's something he'd be open to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish he'd come to the table and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And if there's no, he says no. There's nothing I can do. But this wasn't a stunt. I mean, it was done in the media because I don't know the guy. I don't know his phone number. I can't get a hold of him. Guys don't want to give that kind of information out. Anybody that has got it doesn't want to share that kind of thing. And I've asked, understandably they don't want to do it as well. So it's not like you can go, hey, that guy's a dick because he didn't give me CM Punk's phone number,
Yeah.
It's not like we're in the industry for it. But at the same time, how else are we meant to do this if we can't get a hold of it?
Yeah.
So that's why we've done it publicly. I would have preferred not to do it publicly. I've even emailed him 3 days before the thing to say, look, come and do it. I would have loved nothing more than to not even advertise him for the first show. Like, just bring him in. Can you imagine the guy walking into the guy?
Yeah.
That would have been crazy. They would have remembered that forever. Then it would have gone, kind of viral. That CM Punk's in the building, then he walks out in the ring with everybody chanting his name. How cool would that have been?
Yeah. Well, the good news on that is that even if there is something, you guys come to terms, and come up with a deal, you can still you have the choice to either announce it that would bring a ton of people in, or like you said, it can still be a bit of a surprise, people buying tickets to see if he's going to be there, here's my thing, like I said, we're going to close up, and I really, really appreciate Dan Hinkles from 5-Star Wrestling on the show tonight. I wish you the best, man, and you got some great talent, and this 128 person tournament, great concept, a great way to expose, like you said, names, past, present, and future, and best wishes to you, man. Where can we find you on social media?
Hopefully this gets some kind of response from the man.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, then I don't know what else we could try. Because, we've already gone out publicly. He must be aware of it. I mean, I saw him do some kind of a tweet about a hokey thing. When I first read it, I thought he'd agree. I thought he'd be like, yeah, give me half a front. I was like, yes, he's
Yeah.
I get the humor.
Yeah, well, I'd imagine that's, you know, CM Punk's been in the business for a very long time, and, you know, most of that time was doing indie work. So, you know, usually with people like that, you know, he sought a dream, you know, to pursue MMA, and, you know, his first bout didn't really go as planned or nearly as planned. So it's just a matter of, you know, if he's going to continue his MMA career, which I imagine won't last for very long. But just as that, as an indie wrestler, there's always that itch, you know, as a wrestler, period, but especially if someone who understands the indie style, the indie culture, there's always that itch. So hopefully you guys can be the remedy, and he'll show up at a 5-star wrestling show. True.
Like, is that something that, they, you know, is going to get in the way of his training too much? I'm not sure. I don't know how up in his training now.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, like, that's, you know, and if he wanted a reduced schedule, we could always talk about that kind of thing as well. It doesn't have to be all 30. I mean, I would love it to be all 30. But maybe we talk about it. All I'm saying is that unless you come to the table, I can't even talk about, like, doing one show with a guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Anyway, thank you very much for having me on.
Yeah.
Really appreciate it.
Dan Hinkles, once again, 5-star wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. CM Punk or not, follow the amazing upstart of a promotion. They've shown by their names and their presentation and their television deal that they are the real deal. And, of course, you know, legendary WWE names can help the career, can help the company, but they're going to be fine just regardless. They're going to be fine just being who they are. 5-star wrestling, give me the best wrestling entertainment in the UK and abroad. Appreciate your time, Dan, and have a great morning in the UK. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Dan Hinkle, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, this is... This is just here's the funny thing about that. You know, it just seems like it was just an offer that was cast out. And of course, it had a lot of media buzz and a ton of just internet and just the sheets and everything. Just it just really blew up in the past the week. It just really erupted. But, you know, it's one of those things that from the interview I just had with Dan, it just really seems like it's a really a professional type of pitch to CM Punk, you know, because he really would like to use him to really catapult his 5-star wrestling company. You know, he's had Rey Mysterio, still does. He's had Drew Galloway. Of course, Johnny Mundo, John Morrison's the champion, RVD, you know, that's a huge acquisition. And of course, a bunch of UK talent, and UK wrestling, you know, is just booming. I mean, as we saw, on NXT with Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, and it's just, the progress, you know, ICW, the UK wrestling is such a buzzy, hot area market for wrestling nowadays. So, you know, acquiring a bunch of UK talent and WWE names, former WWE names, it looks like they're on the right track. So I'm really excited to see where 5-star wrestling is going to go. And, hey, maybe I can, you know, fly to UK on their dime and do some media work. That would be actually, we did talk about that. So that would be very fun, and you'll see that on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. Speaking of Crave Wrestling Facebook page, this Saturday, a great friend of mine, NWA tag team legend Bobby Fulton, he's having his show. He has it usually monthly, and you know, I've been to a bunch of these shows, and they do a fantastic job. Bobby does a fantastic job just putting it together. Just a really great family-friendly show that just really exudes the art of kayfabe still. I've been very critical just about kayfabe and how important it is in wrestling, I wrote a long piece about about that with Jinder Mahal on Daily DDT. But you know, with the World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling with Bobby Fulton and his shows, it's just a fantastic job. I have a 4-year-old, almost 5-year-old son. One of my sons is almost, my oldest is almost 5, and he loved it. I took him for the first time when I talked to Road Warrior Animal, and he absolutely loved it. It was just the art of the face and the heel is so important for kids, because it's really, I mean, wrestling is a really is a comic book come to life. And you know, like I said, I wrote about that as well on the Jinder Mahal piece, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But on my oldest, when he was there, he knew that Bobby Fulton, it was the main event, Bobby Fulton and against Shane Douglas. And, you know, I was explaining to him, you know, he's a good guy. Well, he saw it just with the mannerisms of Shane Douglas, you know, and he was really rooting for who he calls Mr. Bobby. And he's like, Mr. Bobby's the good guy. And Shane Douglas, who was playing the heel, he's like, yeah, Mr. Shane is, he's mean, he's the bad guy. So Shane Douglas, at the end, he had a bunch of heels come and, well, he attacked Fulton and was preparing for, like, their extreme match, I think they were having, something like that, the next month. So Shane brought a chair, I believe it was, hit him with the chair. My oldest, he just was petrified him in a small way. He was like, oh my goodness, Mr. Bobby, he just got hit by the chair. Mr. Shane he's such a bad guy. He's hitting Mr. Bobby. And so a bunch of baby faces came, to save Bobby Fulton, and Elijah, he just erupted in cheers, and he was so happy, and he was like, Mr. Bobby, he did it. And I kid you not, nearly the entire time, it was about an hour and 15 minute drive from my house, and this was, and we left about 10:30 at night, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. About 10 o'clock at night we left, and you know, almost the whole time. He was talking about Mr. Bobby and Mr. Shane. So that's what pro wrestling is all about, ladies and gentlemen. You will experience that with World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling. We got the Sandman. We got Rugged Ronnie Garvin is going to be there. Of course, Shane Douglas, Bobby Fulton continue their huge angle that they've been having on the indies. So check that out. World Classic Professional Big Time Wrestling in Circleville, Ohio this Saturday. I checked their Facebook page for details. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into the show. My partner in blessing. I was going to say partner in crime, but my partner in blessing. How about that? Mr. Evan Tech Prowl from Under the Mat Radio. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh, good. Did I hear you mention the Hands of Stone Rugged Ronnie Garvin?
That's right. The Hands of Stone. Going to be in Tuckerville.
Oh, man. I remember the old box promo he did at NWA, and had this one VHS kid, you don't know what that is, Google it. He says, 10-minute round, take 5th, 10-minute round, take 10.
the old Garvin stomp.
Yes. The Orton, or Dusty called Randy Orton, used to be, doesn't do anymore. The Method Orton doesn't do much anymore than it is anymore,
yeah.
So.
He doesn't do it anymore. Yeah, I've noticed that. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, here's the headlines. Here we go. Let's get to the headlines. All right, let's get into the headlines, ladies and gentlemen. So, with Jinder Mahal won the WWE Championship, How long would he be champion? There's reports saying that it could be as long as September, because he wants to be champ, because WWE could potentially be making him champion for the India tour, which is in September. So that means that he would have the belt for 4 months, including past SummerSlam. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was going to say that. I think he's going to hold the title until about SummerSlam. So I'm keep the title, build up the India market again, and just have to see what he's going to have to lead it to at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it seems like they might be doing, they might do him and AJ, because there's not really a lot of huge baby faces. You know, there's not like any, I mean, of course you got Shinsuke Nakamura, but they want to save that big moment for WrestleMania. They're talking about AJ versus Nakamura at WrestleMania. That's the WWE Championship projected match, like the Universal is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. So I tell you what, man, I need to get my tickets for New Orleans, because those two matches for me is that I'm sold on 34. I think 33 is the GOAT so far, but 34, man, there might be some competition going for the GOAT. It won't have The Undertaker, most likely, so it won't have that type of, you know, send-off that The Undertaker had, but 34 looks pretty promising so far.
Yeah, you said 34 was Brock and Reigns and with Nakamura and AJ?
AJ, yep.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, on Raw, we saw someone attack Enzo Amore. Looks like they're developing another angle with that. A lot of people say Big Cass. They thought of some type of Rikishi. I did it for The Rock type of thing. But I don't think that's the case. So, I actually wrote today that there's reports saying that it was... Scott Dawson of the Revival, and Suardo, of course, right after, about 2 weeks after WrestleMania, he had a little less than 2 weeks after WrestleMania, they had a live event. They wrestled one last in this NXT live event, and he broke his jaw, fractured his jaw, had surgery in his jaw. So that gave him an 8-week time frame, which would be mid-June. So it looks like they'll be ready for the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view on July 9th.
Okay.
So it looks like they'll develop this for the next few weeks until they come on TV, probably about two or three weeks before Great Balls of Fire to, you know, to just kind of build up on that feud. So I'm cool. I mean, I'm definitely cool. You know, the Revival didn't have a spot to return to anyways, because the new day's on SmackDown. So, you know, with that, you know, that was it just makes sense for it to be the Revival. So Enzo Cass versus the Revival. They've had some fantastic matches at NXT. That was one of the best tag team rivalries in NXT history. You know, they'll just bring it up to the main stage, and I think they'll do a fantastic job. It's not going to be for the title, but of course, it can give either team an opportunity to, you know, propel, you know, themselves and be in the title hunt.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, give them that title, they can hang them out, and they got some good matches. And Enzo needs cash more than. Cash needs Enzo, so I mean, Enzo is, you know, Cash, of course, is the bigger, and he's going to be pushing a little bit more, but things be good for them. They have good matches in NXT, like you said. They get to go on the main roster and use the same great chemistry, so tag team division can use some new blood, if you will, some new faces, some new life.
Yeah. And on NXT, we saw one of the greatest matches in NXT TakeOver history. You know, I'm the big advocate of having just the kayfabe traditional matches. Here's the thing. I'm a huge, I like very intense, you know, back and forth matches. Just sometimes the way that they're booked, it frustrates me. You know, if I had a choice to side between Rip Rogers or Will Ospreay, I would go Rip Rogers 100%, because of just that formatting of professional wrestling. You're supposed to make me as a pro wrestling fan. You're supposed to make me believe that. You're supposed to suspend my belief that they're fake fighting. That's basically what it boils down to. It's not real. It's staged. It's choreographed. Of course, there's injury involved. I used to amateur wrestle. I've trained to be a professional wrestler. I actually got multiple offers to be a wrestler that I declined. So I know what it is to be to not necessarily wrestle a big match or anything like that, but at the same time, the training and just the sport is grueling. I mean, you know, you can't always say when people say that's you know, fake. I always say you can't fake gravity. So if you have someone, you know, if you have a 240-pound person, you know, jumping 15 feet in the air and landing on a canvas, yeah, there's nothing fake about that. You know what I mean? It's not a plus mattress or anything like that. So with that, you can't, I mean, diving out the ring, there's injuries galore in professional wrestling. So it's like, but at the same time, it's staged, it's choreographed, it's predetermined. We all know that. But at the same time, as the spectator, you're supposed to draw me so much that that's supposed to be further and further back in my mind. And I'm so engulfed in what's going on right now. And that's the reason why characters matter. That's the reason why entrances and all those things, all those intangibles, those all matter when it comes to professional wrestling. Now, if you just have two people go in the ring and just no sell and kick out of finishers, that will get old because it's not character driven. However, it has a place on the card. I certainly think it's a mid-card spot to elevate the main event. I've said this many times before. So, you know, like the Pete Dunne and Tyler Black UK Championship match, that was the reason why it was so good is because, one, both of them were just fantastic athletes, and two, it was placed very, very well on the card. It really injected a type of energy. And the lethal dealt that poison. It injected an energy in that crowd that was infectious. That was really, really amazing. So, you know, it's one of those things, because the match was so over, Steve Austin even tweeted about it and praised it. And then Pete Dunne responded and said, 2017, huh? And, you know, it's a rib, you know, based on the Rip Rogers, Ospreay, and whoever else you want to throw in there, low-key TJ Perkins, a bunch of people that's commented about it, Ricochet, CM Punk. So that's the thing with that. I think it was good, and it's interesting that Steve Austin would tweet that because he's very old school as well, and then Pete Dunne would kind of rib on that as well. So I really thought that Twitter exchange was very interesting.
Well, I will say this, and me post being text rarely. I did not get to see all of the NXT TakeOver. I didn't get to see the Pete Dunne match. My plan is to watch it, of course, after this show. But I did hear a lot over the weekend of the Austin Pete Dunne back and forth. So my question is, Chiggy, with the match being as great as it was, past tense, would you put it up there with the Okada Omega match from Wrestle Kingdom?
Well, I think it was better because I wasn't too big on Okada Omega. Kenny, well, here's the thing. Okada's my favorite person. He's my favorite wrestler in New Japan. I've watched Wrestle Kingdom for a number of years now, and him headlining it has been fantastic every year. He's like the WWE's version of John Cena actually worked out because WWE's version of John Cena didn't really work out as far as the fans are concerned. But, you know, Okada, he's always in those big money matches. So
yeah,
fans love
right.
Okada. So, but him and Omega, I wasn't, you know, here's the thing. I don't agree with much of what Jim Cornette says, but I certainly agree with him here to a degree, to an extent, because I thought it was overrated. I didn't think it was a six-star match like Meltzer. And I, you know, I'm a big advocate of Dave Meltzer, of course.
Uncle Dave.
You know, I have a name for Dave Meltzer to Evan. I said that that's Uncle Dave to Evan, but yeah. But yeah, of course, he's a journalist. He's a journalist. He's been doing it for 30 years. He gets stuff wrong. You know, every journalist gets stuff wrong. You know, there was a report that said that Kofi Kingston and a New Day was going to be, you know, on SmackDown, and they weren't. So that's a wrong report. So it happens all the time. There's no journalist, there's no esteemed journalist that's been correct in every one of their reports, no matter who you are. So, but you know, there's highs and lows of Meltzer, but I respect him as a journalist. Especially with me being a journalist, you know, that he gets that respect, that's in that aspect. So yeah, so you know, and so it's one of those things that but I don't agree with the 6-star rating though. I didn't think it was that good. I would have given it a, out of 5 stars, I'd have given it probably 3 3/4, I'd say. I'd say 3 3/4 stars. Maybe 4. I'll watch it again, but I'd say 3 3/4 because here's the thing. I watched it shortly after the whole 6-star thing. And so I guess maybe my mind was thinking that was the standard that I was expecting. And I love going in things just a clean slate and not being affected by other opinions. So I think I was marred a bit with the whole 6-star. So that was a bit of my expectation, and it didn't live up to that. So the Wrestle yeah. Kingdom was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed the whole Wrestle Kingdom. I watch it every year. I watched the New Japan Rumble. It was great to see, you know, Billy Gunn there. It was great to see Scott Norton back. You know, those, that was great. And then, you know, I was a big, what was it? What was the never match? Let me go to Russ. I usually enjoy the never open weight matches every year. Cause last year was one of my favorite matches of the year with Shibata and Ishii. I don't remember who it was this year. I think Shibata was still in it, but I think it was Shibata and Hiroki Goto. I think it was Hiroki Goto. I'll check on that. Hiroki Goto and Shibata. I think that was it. And I really enjoyed that match too. So, and then of course there was it AJ and Nakamura this year, or was that last year for the IC? I think that was last year. I think AJ and Nakamura, or was it last year? But who was the? Oh yeah, Naito. Had the Intercontinental Champion. He had the Intercontinental Championship this year. I'll look at the card here in a bit.
Right.
But AJ was no. AJ wasn't in because he was on Final Battle. He was supposed to be in Final Battle in December. So yeah, but Nakamura, if I'm not mistaken, I'll look at the card in a minute, but I enjoyed the entire card. But that match wasn't, you know, it wasn't all that. It really wasn't. Yeah, so here's the card. Tiger Mask W, which was Kota Ibushi defeated Tiger of the Dark, which was ACH, which was good. Roppongi Vice beat the Young Bucks to won the junior heavyweight tag championships. That was good. LIJ defeated Finley, Ricochet, and Kojima. The Bullet Club and Chaos for the six-man tag. Cody defeated Juice. That was Cody's Wrestle Kingdom debut. Adam Cole became the first ever three-time champ. He beat Kyle O'Reilly. Ishii and Yano defeated Guerrillas of Destiny and GBH to win the IWG Tag Championships. Takahashi and Kushida, that was a really good match. That was actually one of my favorite matches, too. Yeah, so it was Haruki Goto and Katsuyori Shibata for the Openweight Championship. Yes. Goto won that one.
Yeah,
and then Naito defeat Tanahashi. That's who it was. For the, he kept the IC Championship by defeating Tanahashi. Then Okada beat Omega. That match was over 45 minutes long. I guess I didn't really pay attention to that. I heard it was long, but I didn't know it was 45 minutes long.
Wrestle Kingdom 11.
So, yeah, I didn't know that match between Okada and Omega was that long, though.
Yeah, it was.
Elgin won the New Japan Rumble. So, yeah.
Right. So you let everybody know, because Wrestle Kingdom 10 was not the one on AJ.
Yeah, that was that was for the Intercontinental Championship. And 10, I think it was Okada and Tanahashi that main evented the title, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, and then the open weight match was Shibata and Ishii, and then the junior match was Kushida and he beat somebody. I forgot who it was because he won the. I forgot who the junior champion was at the time, but yeah, he won. So yeah, Tim was really good, but go ahead.
I think it's like this. I've seen a lot of five-star matches over the years. It's funny because I often thought Omega and Okada was great, one of the best.
He beat Omega. That's who it was. He should have been King Omega at 10.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. I mean, I thought I wouldn't give the match 6-star, but I'd give it about 4.5. I thought the match was very well done. I have watched better matches with Okada. I've watched better matches with Omega. And, you know, of course, our thorough history of wrestling, U.S., Japan, I've seen five-star matches. I mean, Misawa and Kobashi and Moon and Sting and Liger and, you know, Mexico's on the horn, Flash Steamboat, Choshi. He did so many. Freebirds and Von Erich. You can list them up, list a lot. But, I will give it 6-star. I'll give it about 4.5. So that was just my curiosity, and I'll watch the Pete Dunne. I watched the match after the show just to get my take on it, but this was curious to saw. But, you know, it's good that Austin tweeted because it's new school. Austin's very old school, but Austin tweeted it, gave you the accolades, and of course you have Bailey, who was the article, by the way, Featherstone. You know, Bailey gave her tweets, and Sasha Banks tweeted, and you know, you have the whole New Age Osprey, Ricochet, Low-Key, Dunn, all this other stuff against Rip, Cornette. You know, it's kind of like the old school versus new school. So,
right,
it's a place. It's a place.
Somebody should grab that. Somebody should grab that and start an angle with it, though. That would be great.
Yeah, they should.
Old school versus new school. Like, you'll have like 63-year-old. I mean, Rip Rogers still ripped. The Rip. I mean, he's still ripped. 63-year-old Rip Rogers, you know, in Austin, managed by Cornette against Osprey and Ricochet. That would be some indie.
That would be great. And like, you know, just before, you know, I'm good friends with Rip, and Rip will be on my show Thursday again talking about this. So, it's something to hear about. It's definitely got everybody talking. New school against old school.
Yeah, absolutely. And then lastly, for the headlines tonight, Rebby Hardy, she goes back to blasting Impact Wrestling. Yeah, just funny stuff. I wrote an article about this on Daily DDT, and it was hilarious to me. Just, you know, Rebbe, as a journalist, you know, I give major kudos to Rebbe Hardy. I mean, just, she makes my job so much easier. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, I love, I'm a big fan of sound bites on my show. And so, yeah, I'll grab one for her. But yeah, major kudos to Rebbe Hardy, because she makes my job so much easier. And matter of fact, let's give Rebbe, ladies and gentlemen, Rebbe. Yes, she deserves the applause.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah, I mean, like, she just makes my job so much easier. It's not speculation. It's not, I heard, you know, because a lot of us journalists, it's like, for instance, I have connections, like tweets, or text messages, phone, talking on the phone, text someone, and you know, people in WWE, Impact,
right,
and ROH. I communicate with people in the OWL.
Yeah.
I stay in touch. I stay in close touch. Yeah. It's definitely ROH. So I keep in contact and just, you know, just fill some things out there and see what's going on and just confirm some stuff. So the funny thing about that is, it's like, you know, of course, a lot of times, you know, as journalists, we get some good sources as well, but it's still, I heard, and, you know, this is what, this and that, this is what was told, this is, so it's kind of still secondhand. But with Rebbe Hardy, I mean, you look at her Twitter account, and there's no questions asked, there's no type of, you know, wondering if or when, there's no type of ambiguity to it. She will let you know. I'm not a big fan of her colorful language, of course, but at the same time, she will certainly let you know. Dutch Mantel tried to be a little level-headed, but she wasn't having it. And she and Dutch just kind of went back and forth, and Jeff Jarrett, you know, Matt Hardy was a part of it as well. But basically, Rebbe was saying that it's, there's no type of, the reports are false. Again, we're debunking reports again. I guess this is the debunk report night tonight. But, you know, she debunked the report that WWE and Impact are having negotiations on the broken name. She said they own it. She said that she wouldn't be saying this if they didn't. And, you know, basically Dutch Mantel was like, finally, basically, he sent out a tweet that said, you know, he retweeted a tweet and commented on it, saying, finally, you know, someone understands. And the tweet talked about, like, if there was an issue, you know, it should have been taken to court already. And so Rebbe Hardy, she, you know, of course, that's all it took for her to just, you know, unleash. And she was like, you know, have you heard of settling outside of court? I'll, you know, basically, you know, Ed Nordum, you know, he's one of the executives at Impact and Anthem. And, you know, she brought him into the tweet as far as like, you know, you better get your boy, you know, and it's going to be even worse if he keeps going. And then someone talked about, you know, do they own, there's negotiations, like I said, and she was saying, you know, I wouldn't be saying these things if there were still stuff going on. So she basically said no to the fact that WWE and Impact is negotiating, as if the Hardys, you know, own that broken name. Now, that's not what a bunch of other reports have shown and reported, but I mean, you know, she's a part of that broken empire.
Yes,
you know what I mean? And so if she's going to say that, and that's a part of, I mean, her her word takes more precedence than any of our journalists' words based on stuff we heard.
She's the book of life.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we can, the only thing we can do is, I mean, we have to take it for its worth, for what it's worth, and assume it to be true. I'd imagine that she wouldn't be lying as far as I would hope that she wouldn't be lying if there's a legal battle going on. That wouldn't be good. I'm sure her attorneys wouldn't co-sign to that. So,
well, like that
really
at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really interesting how this is unfolding. And if they really do own that name, I guess, you know, they've, and you kind of see it. I mean, Matt Hardy's starting to be, you know, starting to do the delete chant.
He's starting to talk more.
Yeah,
he's starting to talk more broken.
Exactly. He's starting to talk more broken. As we saw on Raw, you know, when he was talking about the steel cage match, it was more of his broken kayfabe. So there might be some legitimacy to this.
Yeah. We believe trust in a broken life over anyone else.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, trust in the broken wife. Absolutely.
In this instance.
So, yeah. I mean, like I said, I mean, I would imagine that her attorneys would, you know, if there was a pending issue going on right now, you know, and it's like I'm familiar with court and law based on. I'm about to, you know, become a doctor in forensic psychology. So we actually had to take a bunch of law classes and know about the courts. And I'm familiar with a lot of legal things. And it's like, I would imagine that if there was still a pending, you know, battle going on, that things were unsettled. Yeah, her attorneys would certainly say, hey, Rebbe, anything that you say or do could be held against you. So those tweets, even if you delete them, they can be screenshotted, you know, a screenshot, and they can be used in court. So it doesn't matter. I mean,
you can
verbal. Yeah, yeah. So, so any of that could be used in court. So either she just has no care in the world of this legal, you know, potential or reported, I should say, legal issue, or she's right, you know, as far as the legal battle just being, you know, null and void because they own it. So I would hope that she's right because it, you know, I'm, as a fan, that's good news to me because I want to see the broken Matt Hardy character. So if they're playing it in from a storyline perspective, I'm fine with that. So, you know, go Team Hardy. And eventually, you'll have Impact basically.
Dummy. Yeah.
Eventually, if she was saying something that wasn't true. I'm pretty sure her attorneys will let her know straight up not to say anything. Just
right.
Be careful. So, but trust the broken wife in this aspect. And then also, too, if it wasn't true, Matt Hardy's on WWE. Any likeness or anything that's a head like the broken character, if he decided to use it and he didn't have ownership, he could get in trouble.
Right.
But the fact that he's starting to use it,
talk
a little bit here, yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there, then they own it. So there you go.
Absolutely. So Backlash. Wow. Backlash. What did you think of the event as a whole? And what are your thoughts on the Modern Day Maharaja? Winning the WWE Championship.
I do this to the Maharaja. The ginger juice prevails. The ginger kids. I'm glad he won. Something different. Orton is born. Josh Orton was born. what have you done or, since you had the title? Nothing. But is it safe for Bray Wyatt that Bray Wyatt can't beat you at all, but yet Jinder Mahal can beat you? What's the Jinder Kid? Orton almost killed the Jinder Kids twice, dumped them right on their necks two times. But, of course, Orton isn't going to get in trouble because he's Randy Orton. Yet when Mr. Kennedy, our good friend Ken Anderson, did that to him, which was nowhere near as bad, he got fired. But that's another topic for another day. Glad Jinder Mahal won it. Right, that was saying I'm glad Jinder Mahal won it. Brings marketability to the India circuit. As I said on my show previously, yes, Jinder Mahal is of Indian descent. You know, he was born in Canada. He is of Indian descent. So this is not kayfabe Indian. He legit has Indian in his blood. That's a part of his culture. So I'm happy for him. The Jinder's kids, the Singh brothers, got to be small. What are they, like 5'5", like 120? Gosh,
yeah, it seems like
they look
it,
so
yeah.
tiny. It makes Finn Balor look like a heavyweight. But overall,
right.
I thought overall, I thought Backlash was a decent pay-per-view. The pay-per-view was over 4 hours, 4 hours and 12 minutes, which is a long time for a pay-per-view. Owens and AJ was a good match. I really loved Tyler Breeze in the disguise. Really enjoyed that. Owens and AJ set up for a good match. Overall, it was a good pay-per-view. I was really impressed. I really enjoyed myself. Could care less about the women's match. Overall, I was impressed. I really enjoyed Backlash. I mean, it wasn't the best, but it wasn't a bad. Better than Raw. So I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was surprisingly good. I was actually, I gave it about a B minus. I was expected to be a C minus, so you got a full grade up. Just on paper, it just really didn't seem interesting. And there were reports that actually ticket sales stalled after, you know, they found out, after people found out that Orton and Mahal would be the main event. So it's not necessarily good for either Orton or Mahal. And on SmackDown, they announced that they're going to do that match again. So, you know, but at the same time, I think I was a huge fan of the tag match. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Yeah,
I had to write about it. I wrote about it on the
One
Inquisitor.
Day ISH.
Yeah. One day is H is what they kept saying.
H, yeah.
But yeah, just the grandma, the janitor, just, I mean, that's exactly, again, characters. That's exactly my point. They've been wrestling tag team matches for months now. When you throw some character and some just kind of theatrics in there, some animation, then everybody starts talking about that team who's been together for months. It's a character-driven sport. If it was just regular Breezango fashion police,
wrestling,
if it was just that and just against the Usos, it would not had as not in nearly as much buzz as it did when all the characters and theatrics were in there. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and that match was, it was, I mean, it was a solid match. Every four of them, you know, of the competitors, you know, they're solid performers. So I was definitely expecting that. But at the same time, the element of, you know, the broom, and it was just,
yeah, the broom in the disguise, and
yeah,
right, and the fact that Tyler Breeze kept flipping over slowly every time.
Yeah.
I can't tell them apart. Jimmy kept trying to get on the top rope. That was hilarious. Stuff like that helped too. I'm still trying to figure out what the Usos are. They thugs? Are they Samoan hoodlums? We don't know.
Yeah. We don't know. 12 days. That's
yeah, we
all
don't.
I know.
Oh, shout out to honorable mention: Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin. Really enjoyed that match. I love the storytelling of Corbin beating the crap out of Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn using his heart. Sami Zayn not quitting, and Sami Zayn coming out with the air quote unexpected victory. So, this one said, I really did enjoy that.
That was
how
old
could
school
I
face versus heel, right there.
Old school. Yeah, how could you forget Nakamura and Ziggler? I mean, just good match. Got to love Nakamura, Ziggler. You always get consistency with Ziggler. Ziggler is the modern day Henning, Henning, Savage, Brett. You know, Ziggler, like Michaels was, 94-95, just not main event yet, but there's always seduce in the ring. Tito Santana is. You put Ziggler with anybody, he can make it look good. Don't really understand the United States tights he had on, but that's just me being tactical.
Yeah, he always does that. Yeah, I don't understand why
he does that.
Yeah, he wears U.S. tights, but he's, yeah. There, I had a criticism about that. I had a criticism because you're building the pay-per-view around Nakamura. He's on the poster. And they had the first match, which didn't make sense.
Right.
And then the way that the match was built, like, it made Nakamura have to come from behind. That just doesn't make sense. For if they're making Nakamura a big star, and I think Dolph Ziggler is the guy to do it against because he's a very solid performer. But at the same time, you know, just coming from behind like he did, I don't think that really made him look dominant. I think they kind of peeled back some levels on him. And he's my number one as far as an individual. I think that there's nobody more infectious than Nakamura right now. Absolutely. He's amazing. But at the same time, I'm not a fan of the way that they booked him. I think that they really should have made him look stronger with that being his first match. So I think that was my biggest criticism. And as far as Jinder Mahal, I made a very long – okay, for all you listening live and archived, go to Daily DDT. I wrote a very long piece, so I'm not going to do too much explaining. It's called Jinder Mahal as WWE champion and what that means long term. So Google that. Yes, Google that.
It's great, though.
A very long piece. Thank you for all who supported. I got a lot of positive reviews from it. But I just wrote a long piece. I was just thinking a lot, and there's one thing I love about journalism is that I get paid to think. So that's exactly what I did.
Yeah.
I thought I thought a lot about that match. I just put everything in perspective, and I wrote about it. So check the piece.
I'm sorry. It's just. And, you know, shout out to my correspondent, Tofu. Me and Tofu went back and forth on my show a few weeks ago about Orton. He said Orton shouldn't be on SmackDown. He's boring. He doesn't bring anything. And I defended Orton too for now, said you need him for marketability, which is true. He has a name. But Tofu's right. Gosh, Orton, man, he makes Kyle run looks like Sting in 91. Orton is just... Orton is like, what have you done? Orton is boring. He wears a hoodie or a jacket. What have you done? I don't know if you can really blame Orton because Orton.
Yeah, you can.
Over the summer.
You can.
Yeah, it is an uphole.
Because he's always up and down. You see it in his face.
Yeah,
you see it in his mannerisms. You know, man, you can't. It's inconsistent with Orton. You know, one day he might be excited. He might had a good day. And then, you know, the next week he just looks bland and just disinterested and disengaged.
It's like the Orioles pitch or a ball, though. You don't know what you're going to get. A ball could start. Like yesterday, he started and he was just back to a ball though and pitching and giving up runs. And next minute, next start he gets, he's pitching well. And Orton is he's the top tier where he's enough forward where he can say what he wants and he's kind of virtually untouchable. And it's just Orton was over the summertime he was interested with the whole Brock. And ever since then, he was like, God, I thought he was born during the whole authority angle. Gosh, it's like, what have you done? Bray Wyatt, we can't beat you. And the real loser of this is Bray. Bray can't defeat Orton and really anybody fans for that matter, but he's the new face of fear. But yet, Jinder Mahal and the Jinder's kids can defeat you.
Yeah.
What does it say about Bray?
that says a lot. And, you know, it just Orton, and the crazy thing is, you know, he's still young. He's only 36. And so it's like he's been in the game for 15 years, and really, he has at least 8 more, solid 7 or 8 more. And it's like, man, I cannot imagine seeing Randy Orton for another 8 years. Like, I just
You said the same thing about Triple H, same thing about Flair.
No, not Triple H. No, because with Triple H and Flair, both of them, especially Flair.
Yeah.
No, Flair had a strong enough character to go. Flair went way over. Flair's last match, I mean, the 08 thing. Well, what was it? 26? Was it 20? Oh, wait, no, not 26. 24, because 25 and 26.
25 was Michaels and Shawn.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so 24. Michaels and Flair was 24, yeah. So that was, 2008. So that should have been it for Flair. And he wrestled in his, he wrestled a Hogan's tour. He wrestled. He put Jay Lethal over, which was cool. But he had many matches after that. It's like, and even before that retirement angle, though, like, because I remember he started to go into the Intercontinental Championship. He won the Intercontinental Championship with feud with Carlito. I'm like,
MVP,
15-time world champion. To be in the Intercontinental Championship hunt and feuding with Carlito over the Intercontinental Championship, like, I'm a big fan of world champions elevating mid card titles, like when Triple H had the Intercontinental Championship during the Power Trip time. But it's like, Flair didn't really
elevate. That was young Triple H.
Yeah,
it was
kind of like
younger Triple H.
Yeah,
right. Austin was the champ, so
yeah.
You know, they could have switched roles.
Yeah, like when Jericho won the U.S. Championship recently, I think that was good. I mean, he's been a 6-time world champion. He elevated a mid-card championship. But when Flair had the title, I'm just like, oh, man. Like, this is a sympathy decision here to make Flair champ. All right, real quick, a couple minutes. Let's get into Raw and SmackDown. Just your quick thoughts on Raw and SmackDown.
Was doing the show live. SmackDown was on. I did. Was told the Fresh Police won the tag titles. So I'm happy about that.
No, they didn't win. They didn't win.
Oh, they didn't win.
No.
Oh, that's right. Usos won. I did see Mr. SmackDown because I was doing the show. When I saw, it seemed like a regular SmackDown episode. It was okay. Raw was just. Well, Rob was okay. 205 Live was like a bunch of action, like little kids playing with action figures in the ring. Finn Balor, gosh, and I have nothing against size. I really like Finn Balor. It's just, I like Heyman coming out. I like him doing a promo with Balor. But it's like, do you really want us to believe? Even anybody
that
doesn't
even. Why did he put Balor over so much, though? That's my thing.
He did.
Why did he put him over so much? That was a
weird. Right. That's the thing. Like, you come out. You put Balor over, but it's like, do you really want us to believe Finn Balor is legitimate? Is even a hint of a match against Brock? Maybe go back to SummerSlam.
That's probably why
right.
they did it, like to make right. Balor look like a star because that's probably why he did that.
Right? Do we really need to go back to years past of SummerSlam when CM Punk got annihilated by Brock? And Punk is what? 2-3 times bigger than Finn? And Punk got thrown around like a rag doll. Now, granted, we know it's kayfabe. We know Brock really could did it.
Look at Ambrose.
Look at Ambrose. Anybody. Rollins. Cena.
Yeah.
Take it. All got thrown around like rag dolls.
Yeah.
And they're big guys. And it's Balor. It's like you're small guy to Seth Rollins, and you're gonna be David and Goliath to Brock. And like you said, enough because I like Balor. I like Balor. I love Heyman. I love how they use Brock. But it's like, you know, and it's a lot of interesting things. You can do show results in mid July. You know, Bray and Brock will be interesting, but do we really care? because Braxton beat everybody and Brady lost to everybody.
It's a throwaway. It's a throwaway match, whatever it is. At the end of the day, it's going to be Reigns and Lesnar. I think that Balor – I'm interested to see Balor and Brock just to see how it will be, how they're going to play it out. Real quick, SmackDown – it was okay. Money in the Bank should be a good match. Here's my biggest thing real quick on SmackDown. We got to get to the Flavor of the Week real quick. My only thing about SmackDown is, you know, if they want to make Mahal a big star, why they have the big celebration in the middle of the show? I think that was terrible.
Yeah.
I think it was a bad idea. They should have had that tag match in the middle. They should have had a celebration at the end with fireworks and the show closes. If they really want to make a big star like that, they should have been at the end. All right, real quick.
It is now time for the Flavor of the Week.
All right, real quick. In like 2 minutes. Your prediction, your early prediction of the Money in the Bank winner. They said Baron Corbin, Kevin Owens, Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles. There's your six. What do you got with it?
Man, I don't know. Owens or Nakamura? Nakamura?
Yeah,
Nakamura.
Yeah. Putting Nakamura in the Money in the Bank wasn't a big fan of, I think, yes. He kind of should have been away from it, but because him losing his second pay-per-view, I don't think he's going to win it. I think that the person that they will make Money in the Bank winner is going to be none other than Baron Corbin. And they're going to make Baron Corbin winner, I guess.
Yeah.
Baron Corbin. All right, you got some things coming up. Evan Tech Prout, let the listeners know.
Yeah, don't forget to listen to Under the Mat Radio. It'll be live every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget this Thursday, special episode with Rick Rogers at 7 p.m. this Thursday, Eastern Time.
Oh, Ripski. Should be very interesting. Of course, the more PG he is, the more I'll be able to cover that. hopefully he'll be able to tone it down for us journalists. It should be a very interesting interview. So again, thank you so much, Dan Hinkle. I'm looking forward just to this five-star wrestling, and I think Dan Hinkle's is the way to go as far as getting this launched up, and the media, the presentation, it looks great. The names they've acquired before and still have, and the names they've been voting against is going to be interesting. So. I've been very vocal that I'm not a CM Punk guy whatsoever, but his name does draw people, and getting CM Punk would be very interesting. So we'll see how that unfolds. Just continue to check out the CM Punk Five Star Wrestling saga is in the middle. Ladies and gentlemen, follow Crave Wrestling at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, Crave Wrestling Facebook fan. Of course, my personal fan, my personal page is at Chris Prolific. God bless you all. Until next week, enjoy your weekend.